Tonight's topic, tonight's question is this: how did it all begin? Where did this world, where did the universe come from? The Bible tells us, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Read the verse with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That, of course, is Genesis 1:1. The Bible tells us God made this earth in six literal 24-hour days. Day number one, he made the earth, he made light, he made darkness. Day number two, he made the atmosphere, made the oceans. Day number three, he made the land and then the plants. Day number four, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day number five, the birds and the fish. Day number six, the dry land animals. Creation was finished. God looked at everything he made. Behold, it was very good. But wait a minute. God has saved the very best for last. What was the final thing that God made on day six? He made people. A man by the name of Adam. A woman by the name of Eve. And there was God's creation done by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator. How we know this is true? The Bible tells us God made it. Several years ago, I went to our public library in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I checked out a book. It's called From the Beginning, The Story of Human Evolution, written by a man named Mr. David Peters. Now, Mr. Peters is not a Christian. He doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't have the fear of God. He doesn't have the beginning of wisdom, does he? And he tells a whole different story. He tells us that the world started by accident. In fact, he tells us the whole universe started as a result of an explosion. He tells us there was a dot, smaller than appeared on the page. That dot somehow exploded, okay, and created this universe. Then he tells us all the parts of the universe began to cool and cool and cool. And over billions of years, then the planets cooled. And about 4.5 billion years ago, Earth was formed in that cooling process. Water condensed in amino acids and proteins in a pond. And one day, lightning struck the pond and started life. Now, does lightning start life? Not usually. Usually, lightning will end life. You stand in a cornfield, get struck by lightning, it will not improve your life, it'll probably end your life. Mr. Peters does not believe the Bible, and the story he tells is a far-fetched tale, but there are people that actually believe that. Read the quote from his book, if you would please, together. Humans and animals were not created individually, but share a common ancestry. He tells us that life started off as a simple one-celled organism, and a period of time began to change and change and change. Fish became amphibians, amphibians became reptiles, reptiles became birds became mammals, mammals became higher mammals called primates, and primates became human beings. And what is that theory called? It's called the theory of evolution. Now, sadly, you have to decide, but sadly, most of our schools in the U.S. teach evolution and reject creation. And you have to choice, but most of our schools tell you we should believe evolution, we should reject creation, because evolution is based on science. Is that true? Not at all. Our National Park Service teaches the same thing. The Discovery Channel teaches the same thing. All these authoritative voices are teaching us that science supports evolution. I believe a thinking person should reject evolution and believe creation, because creation is actually supported by science. And I'll show you in the next few minutes why we say that. I'm not a scientist, but I can read. I'm a thinking person. And you have to decide. Now, here's a quote from Mr. Bozoth. Look what he says. Christianity has fought, still fights, and will fight science to the desperate end over evolution. Do you see what he's doing? He's trying to equate evolution with science. Not at all. Evolution is not science. If we want to teach science in our schools, we don't teach evolution. Evolution is not science. And by the way, all the main scientists of the past and years past that started the different disciplines were all creationists. Most people don't realize that. Here's Dr. Muir. He's a well-known scientist around the world. He's written books. He's won awards. Notice what he says. He says, since Darwin, every knowing person agrees man descended from the apes. Today there's no such thing as the theory of evolution. It is the fact of evolution. You understand what he's saying? Evolution has been proven by science. Now, this man is smart enough. He's read enough. He knows there's no such thing as proof of evolution. He knows that he's deliberately lying to us, and he's okay with that. As we mentioned, in years past, the main scientists, the smartest scientists in history, were creationists. Now, let's go to a couple of questions. The first question is this: how old is the earth? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically planet Earth is so old. But it tells us that Adam was created on day six, and it tells us how long the next guy lived and how long the next guy and the next guy. And if you do the math, it looks like the Bible is saying that planet Earth is approximately 6,000 years old. Okay, how old? About 6,000, okay? Then the Bible tells us 1,600 years later, there was a worldwide flood, so that worldwide flood would have been about 4,400 years ago. Are you with me? Mr. Peters does not believe that. He tells us that planet Earth is approximately 4 billion. And I still need some more zeros. Years old. Now, these books cannot both be right. They tell a different story. If my Bible is right, Mr. Peter's book is wrong. If Mr. Peter's book is right, then my Bible is wrong. They cannot both be right. And I'm going to show you just a few reasons, and there's dozens and dozens of these. Just a few reasons from science. I believe my Bible is right, and planet Earth is literally just a few thousand years old. It is not 4.5 billion years old, as Mr. Peter's tried to tell us. And by the way, they say, well, we have radiometric dating. We can date an object, we can date a fossil, we can date a rock and tell you how old it is. They've missed every time. Radiocarbon dating on Oxford Castle, they gave it 7,000 years. It was built less than 800 years ago. They missed it totally. The lava flow in Hawaii, they told us it was between 1.6 and 3 billion years old, and yet we know the lava flow formed in 1801, a little over 200 years ago. They missed it entirely. They have dated living mollusk as being over 2,000 years old, and yet they're still alive. So when they tell you, well, we've dated this, they're making the numbers up. They'll tell you, well, this is a trilobite, and trilobites went extinct 270 million years ago. Well, how do you know that, sir? Well, the trilobites are found last in the 270 million-year-old rock. Well, how do you know the rock is 270 million years old? Well, of course we know, because it has trilobites in it. That's called circular reasoning, and it simply doesn't work. Here's some reasons from science I believe that planet Earth is just a few thousand years old. Number one, the Great Barrier Reef. As you probably know, a reef is an underwater mountain built of living creatures known as corals. Here's a picture of a scuba diver down the Cayman Islands. That's my son, Steve. We were diving together, doing a meeting on the islands there, and what a fantastic week that was. The largest reef in the world is off the northeast coast of Australia, known as the Great Barrier Reef. Scientists did a 20-year growth study just to determine how fast the reef was growing and approximately how old it would be. When they finished, they were astounded that according to their survey, the reef is only 4,200 years old. Why just 4,200 years? I think I know. There was a worldwide flood about 4,400 years ago, and shortly after, the Great Barrier Reef began to form. The rock layers. There is no erosion between the layers of rock. Now, let's say that these layers of rock were laid down thousands and thousands of years apart or hundreds of thousands of years apart. Let's say this rock layer right here is laid down and it's exposed for 100,000 years. Another layer is laid down laid on top of it. There'd be 100,000 years of erosion, wouldn't there? There is no erosion between any of the rock layers around this world, showing you that the rock layers were laid down very, very quickly, not over a period of millions and millions and millions of years. In many places, the rock layers are folded, but they're not fractured. Which tells you those rock layers were not laid down millions of years apart. They all laid down close together. They were folded. When they were soft, they weren't fractured at all. The dust on the moon. When I was a kid in fifth grade, my science teacher said there might be as much as a mile thick dust on the moon because there's no atmosphere. I thought, wow, that'd be a pretty dusty place. Do you remember what happened in 1969? The Eagle has landed. In 1969, we put a man on the moon, and we discovered the dust on the moon was not more than a mile thick. It was less than 3/4 of an inch thick. Why? The moon is not 4.5 billion years old. It's just a few thousand years old. Human population curve. As you probably know, we have 7.6 billion people on the planet right now. We hit 6 billion in 1999, 5 in 1990. And you trace it back, it looks like planet Earth was populated about for the first time about 4,000 years ago. Why just 4,000 years ago? I think I know. There was a worldwide flood about 4,400 years ago, and how many people walked off the ark alive? 8 people, and the human population started again. Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is eroding. As you know, moving water can actually cut solid rock. Now, the rate of erosion in Niagara Falls is about 5 feet a year. Do the math. In 1,000 years, that'd be approximately a mile. Niagara Falls is eroded back about 7 miles. Why not all the way back to Lake Erie? I think I know. Planet Earth is not 4.5 billion years old. It's about 6,000 years old. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed, what about coal? What about coal? Didn't coal form millions of years before man ever walked on planet Earth? Matter of fact, here's a quote from my World Book Encyclopedia. Read it with me, if you would please, together. Coal developed from the remains of plants that died 400 million to 1 million years ago. Now, I'll say this. If my encyclopedia is right, my Bible is wrong. If my Bible is right, my encyclopedia is wrong. I believe with all my heart my encyclopedia is wrong. Let me show you just one reason. Here's an iron pot that was found inside a solid seam of coal. What does it tell you? Obviously, human beings made the pot. If it's inside a solid seam of coal, that iron pot was made before the coal was formed. Folks, we have found tools, weapons, coins, jewelry, all sorts of man-made objects inside solid seams of coal, which tells you one thing. People lived on the planet before the coal was formed, not afterwards. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed, what about the Grand Canyon? Didn't the Colorado River cut the Grand Canyon over millions and millions of years? How many of you have been told that in school? I was told that. I don't believe that. And I'll tell you why. Several years ago, my brother Jeff and I hiked the Grand Canyon. When you're standing on the south rim before you get on the trail, you're standing on a plateau 7,000 foot altitude. You look down below, and from the east, here comes the Colorado River flowing in from the east, about 4,000 feet below that. Now follow me here. If the Colorado River cut the Grand Canyon, it had to flow uphill about 4,000 feet to do so. Does water flow uphill? Not in my world. How was the Colorado River formed? I believe it was formed in just a few months during the worldwide flood. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed, what about the dinosaurs? Didn't the dinosaurs die out 65 million years ago? I don't believe that. 2 years ago in Hell Creek, Montana, a T-Rex was found, and they told us that T-Rex was 68 million years old. And as they're studying it, taking the bones apart to study, they found soft tissue inside the bones, soft tissue all through that creature. And rather than back up and say, whoops, this dinosaur fossil isn't as old as we thought it was, they started saying, well, maybe soft tissues last longer than we think they do. No, the dinosaur was not 68 million years old. There have been places around this world where we have found models of dinosaurs, clay models, terracotta models, made by people. How do they know what they look like? They lived at the same time that dinosaurs did. And by the way, we have legends of dinosaurs. Back in those days, they didn't call them dinosaurs. What they call them? Dragons. You could go any people group around this world, study their ancient history. There are legends of dragons. People and dinosaurs, I believe, lived at the very same time. They were contemporary. The Inca stones from Peru with pictures of dinosaurs. How do they know what they look like? They lived at the same time that dinosaurs did. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed. What about the caves? I went to a cave. They said, don't touch the stalactites. It takes 100 years to grow an inch. Don't touch the stalagmites. It takes 100 years to grow an inch. Now, there's one cave, they said 1,000 years to grow an inch. I visited one cave, they said 250. So take your own number. 1,000, 250, 1,000, you know, whatever you want to do. Let's take the median number, 250, okay? If it takes 250 years to grow one inch, what would it take to grow a foot? 3,000 years. Now, if it takes 3,000 years to grow one foot, here's what's called a column where a stalactite grew from the ceiling, a stalagmite grew from the floor, they joined in the middle, and here's a six-foot man you see in an orange jumpsuit and a blue helmet. If it takes 3,000 years to grow one foot, that is a lot more than 6,000 years of history, isn't it? But I don't believe it takes that long. I was canoeing up in Michigan, passed under a concrete bridge. I'm paddling along, looked up, I said, look at that. And I slowed canoe and came back. There were stalactites growing under the bridge. There were 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 inches long. I said, let's see, 100 years grow an inch. Whoa. This concrete bridge was built several hundred years before Columbus discovered America. No, they don't grow that slowly, folks. There's a Christian man in Alabama who has his own cave, and he put little plexiglass guards in front of stalactites and stalagmites to measure their growth. In his cave, they grow approximately an inch and a quarter every single year. If somebody tells you it's 100 years to grow an inch, 250 years to grow an inch, 1,000 years to grow an inch, they either do not know what they're talking about or they're deliberately lying to you. They don't grow that slowly. How old is the earth? I believe our Bible is correct. I believe our Bible is accurate. A little over 6,000 years. Read the verses with me together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. What is the name of your Creator? His name is Jesus. The Savior of the world is also the Creator of the world. He made this world. He made you. He made you and me for His own glory. Here's a question the evolutionists don't want to talk about. Say the question with me together. Where are the transitional forms? Say it again. Where are the transitional forms? Just one more time. Where are the transitional forms? How many know what a transitional form is? Okay, some of you do. Let me try to explain it simply here. If evolution did take place, okay, let's say the jellyfish and invertebrates evolved into vertebrate fish, okay? Or let's say that fish evolved into amphibians. Let's say amphibians evolved into reptiles. If amphibians evolved into reptiles, there'd be some creatures that are half amphibian and half reptile. There'd be some creatures in the fossil record that are half amphibian and half reptile. Let's say the reptiles evolved into birds. And by the way, one writer I wrote said this. He said the dinosaurs became birds one afternoon when a dinosaur was running through the woods and ran into a thorn bush. The thorn bush kind of shredded his front limbs, and the front limbs, those shredded flesh, became feathers, and dinosaurs took off and flew. I read that and I thought, come on, mister. Even a kindergarten kid wouldn't believe that. Okay? But if one creature, let's say that birds evolved into reptiles or into mammals, what would they look like? Perhaps like this. You have those in Canada, don't you? It's a bird dog, folks. Okay, let's say that mammals evolved into higher mammals called primates. There'd be some creatures in the fossil record that are half mammal and half primate. There'd be some creatures alive today that are half mammal and half primate. I was in a school recently, a public school, and a girl came up, eighth grade girl. She said, why isn't evolution taking place today? I said, good question. It's not. Now, let's say that primates evolved into modern man. There'd be some creatures that are half primate and half man. If evolution took place in the plant kingdom, we'd have some plants that are half grass and half tree. We'd have some plants in the fossil record that are half grass and half tree. So we'd have live ones and fossil ones. We have found billions, not millions, but billions of fossils so far. Does anybody know how many transitional forms have we found so far? There are none. None. Not just a few. There are none. They talk about missing links. All the links are missing. Now, when you find out there are no transitional forms, what does it tell a thinking person? Evolution never took place. There's no evidence of it at all. Notice what this man says. He wrote a book years and years ago. He says, as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed. Why do we not find them embedded in the crust of the earth? Why is all nature not in confusion instead of being, as we see them, well-defined species? Now, this man is an evolutionist. He's written a book about it. But he's saying, I believe in evolution, but there's no proof. We don't have transitional forms, and we don't have evolution taking place in the living world today. The man, of course, was Charles Darwin. In the next few paragraphs, he said this. He said, the next few years, we will find a multitude of transitional forms, and that will prove my theory. His book published in 1859, well over 100 years ago. Again, the question, how many transitional forms have been found? There are none. Evolution never took place. Here's another transitional form, half dog, half cat. It's called a dat. How about this one here? Half dog, half shark. What would you call that? A dark. Are you afraid of the dark? Okay. How about this one here? One of my favorites, rhino roo. Here's my favorite, T-Rex the pillar. Be careful. Next time you go to a garden, you're picking tomatoes. One of these comes along, they will take off a finger just like that. Be careful, folks. Or how about a duckafent? What a pet he would make, okay? But here's what I'm saying. There are no transitional forms. There's no proof of evolution. Stephen Gould is one of the best-known evolutionists around the entire world. Notice what he said. The absence of fossil evidence for intermediate stages between major transitions and organic design has been a persistent and nagging problem for gradualist accounts of evolution. He's saying, I'm an evolutionist. I believe that with my heart, but there is no proof. There are no transitional forms. And he's being honest with us. Mr. Mayor, there's no such thing as a theory. It's fact. Mr. Mayor, you know you're telling a lie. There are no transitional forms. There's no proof of your theory. There's no proof of evolution, whatever. Notice what Mr. Thompson says. To seek for stepping stones across the gaps is to seek in vain forever. He's an evolutionist. He's admitting there are no transitional forms. Notice Dr. Fleischman. The Darwinian theory of descent has not a single fact to confirm it in the realm of nature. It is not the result of scientific research, but purely the product of imagination. And then Mr. Tasman says this. Scientists who go about teaching that evolution as a fact of life are great con men. And the story they're telling may be the greatest hoax ever. Explaining evolution, we do not have one iota of fact. So here's what I'm saying. Science cannot prove evolution. Science cannot prove creation. And so you have to decide, will I believe Darwin or will I believe God? Folks, I would choose to believe God. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed. Then if they don't have transitional forms, what do? They simply make them up. You ever heard of Arcturopteryx? I have a hard time saying it. Seven of these creatures have been found all in the land of Germany. They tell us that this was a reptile evolving into a bird. And they have various theories as to how that took place. Reptiles are cold-blooded. Birds are warm-blooded. Reptiles have heavy, dense bones. Birds have hollow bones. How many know what a frigate bird is? Anybody? A frigate bird is a huge bird with a 7-foot wingspan. the skeleton of a frigate bird weighs 4 ounces. It turned out Arcturopteryx was simply a bird that had teeth. It wasn't evolving. There's no reptilian features, whatever. It was simply a bird that God created that is now extinct. You ever heard of the coelacanth? The coelacanth was an ancient fish, died out 35 million years ago, according to the evolutionists. It's a large fish, about 5 feet long, weighs almost 100 pounds. You can't see it in this fossil, but the fins are almost on little lobes, almost like little legs. And the evolutionists tell us this was a fish evolving into an amphibian. It didn't swim. It walked on the bottom. It just kind of crawled on the bottom. Then in 1938, we found that the coelacanth is still very much alive. They don't crawl on the bottom. They swim. It's an ordinary fish. You can see that the fins are on little lobes the way God made them 6,000 years ago. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed. I went to the museum. I saw transgenital forms. What you saw were plastic models that somebody made. You saw pictures that somebody drew. And folks, they've all turned out to be hoaxes. You ever hear of Nebraska Man? In 1925, Harold Cook went to Snake River, Nebraska. He found a creature he said was half primate, half modern man. It was a creature evolving into man. He told us the creature was 500,000 years old. He told us how tall this guy was, how strong he was, how smart he was, what kind of tools he used, the foods he preferred. And most people thought that Mr. Cook found a skeleton. As it turned out, he had found a tooth. The tooth of a pig. It was not a primate at all. The whole thing was a hoax. He was making it up as he went along. That's not called science. That's called science fiction. You ever heard of Piltdown Man? Piltdown, England? A scientist over there took the skull of a human being, the jawbone of a primate. He filed them down where they fit together fairly reasonable, put a chemical on called potassium chromate, which makes things look old. Buried them in a gravel pit, left them for several months. One day went to the university, said, hey guys, let's dig for fossils. This looks like a good place. He dug up Piltdown Man. And Piltdown Man was used in the science textbook for 45 years as proof of evolution. Please hear me. There were Christian young people that heard and read about Piltdown Man and lost their faith in the Word of God because they thought that science had proven evolution. Not at all. The whole thing was a hoax. Neanderthal Man, the very same thing. You say, wait a minute, Mr. Ed, what about Lucy, Australopithecus africanus? Donald Johansson went to Hadar Valley, Ethiopia in 1974. He found a fairly complete skeleton, about a 3-foot-tall skeleton, a little primate, and he told us this was a primate that was 3 million years old, transitioning into a human being. He had pictures of what he thought Lucy looked like, and then pictures in the book that gave his proof. Here is the knee joint of a human being, and the upper bone is known as the femur. Now look at the femur. Is it angled or straight? Talk to me if you would. Okay, it's angled. Here is a modern primate. Look at the femur. Angled or straight? Okay, so the primate is straight. The human being is angled. Here is Lucy's knee joint in the middle. Angled or straight? Angled. So Mr. Johansson said the primate is straight. The human being is angled. Lucy's femur is angled. Therefore, Lucy is becoming a human being. And she's probably our oldest ancestor. Can I tell you the rest of the story? In 1975, John O. Johansson went back to Hadar Valley, Ethiopia. He found a skeleton in 74. He goes back a year later, and he found the knee joint a mile and a half away approximately from the original skeleton. Now, wait a minute. You find a skeleton in one location, move a mile and a half away and find a knee joint. Can you legitimately put those two together? That's fraud. You give me some bones. I've got a good imagination. I could give you whales with wings if you want them. I mean, we could play this game. I'll build anything you want. Tell me what you want. No, they don't belong together. And there's one more picture you should have showed us. Many of the modern primates that are alive today have angled femurs, just like human beings. They're not transitioning. They're not evolving. They're simply the way that God made them. I'm saying this. This world was made by God. You can trust him. Your Bible is true. I want to share one more thing. We're out of time here. How many know what a monarch butterfly is? We all do. Here's something I learned about butterflies just a few months ago, okay? The butterfly lays her eggs. She moves off. She dies. You know what forms inside that egg? You know what hatches out? An eating machine known as a caterpillar. When he comes out, all he does is eat and eat and eat. He doubles his weight the very first day. He doubles his weight again the second day. He doubles his weight again the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day. If babies did that, your baby would weigh over a ton in about 3 weeks. After a time, that caterpillar forms a chrysalis and spends about 2 weeks inside the chrysalis. Now, during that process, if you were to rip that chrysalis open, do you know what you'd find inside? A sticky, gooey substance, almost a soup. The caterpillar's gone. But what hatches out 2 weeks later? A beautiful, beautiful monarch butterfly. Now, here's something I learned just a few weeks ago, okay? The first generation of butterflies hatches out in March. They live 2 to 6 weeks. They lay their eggs. They die. The next generation hatches out in May. They live 2 to 6 weeks. They lay their eggs. They die. The next generation hatches out in July. They live 2 to 6 weeks. They lay their eggs. They die. The fourth generation hatches out in September and for some reason lives 6 to 8 months. Why? Well, that generation lives until winter comes and then they migrate to Mexico. Here's these butterflies that live in Canada, in northern U.S., and they migrate several thousand miles down to the warmer climes of Mexico. By the way, a butterfly brain weighs approximately 1/5,000th of an ounce. We're talking tiny. How does a butterfly know where to go? How does a butterfly do that migration? That butterfly would migrate to Mexico, spend the winter there. When the springtime comes, that butterfly migrates back to northern U.S. and mid-Canada and goes back right to the place where she was hatched. Now, the evolutionists are straining at things. Here's a female evolutionist. She tells the story of the butterfly. Notice what she says. Mother Nature sure has some cool ways of doing things, doesn't she? No, folks, it's not Mother Nature. It's your creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I also learned recently there are more than 20,000 species of butterflies. Why did God make over 20,000 species of butterflies? For your enjoyment. He's a God of beauty, a God of creation. He loves you, and that's why he made this world for you and for me. Would you bow your heads? Would you listen just for a moment? Pastor will come and take our service. The God who made this world, the God who is so creative and made all the animal life and plant life and made you and made me, one day left heaven and came to earth as a sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of this universe, willingly died on a cross in my place and in your place, taking our sin that we might be saved and be forgiven. I wonder how many this evening say, Brother Ed, I know the Lord is my Savior. I have been saved. I know the Lord. If that's your testimony, could I see your hand? Brother Ed, I've been saved. I know the Lord. Thank you. Anybody here this evening say, Brother Ed, I've not been saved, but I want to be. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loved me and died for me, but I've never yet been saved, and I need to be. Could I see your hand? I've never been saved, and I need to. Okay, thank you, sir. Good. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Good. My message is this. Your Bible is true. You can trust what God tells us. I'm going to ask Pastor to come and take our service. If you would, please, Pastor.